20 minutes past 7 o'clock on a Monday morning. That was the Scissor Sisters. I don't feel like dancing. Well, I mean, that's me and you, but yeah. Sarah Swainson bounced into the studio.
Dancing.
Dancing.
I mean, I've never seen anyone so excited about life on a Monday.
It's not a blue Monday. You're going to make it a fun Monday.
It's a whole new week, whole new opportunity.
Yeah. You see these guys. Now, Sarah, and you hear another voice in the background there. Equally gung-ho about life. Shannon Clark, who is no stranger to 88, but nice to see you again, both of you.
Thank you.
And welcome on this extremely exciting Monday.
Yeah.
It's still a new week, so it's our bold heart segment.
You see, these people, there's no, you know.
We can't, listen, if we can't beat them, let's join them.
You can. I'll just say.
So this is another exciting episode of Bold Heart. And just for the listeners out there, if you haven't been listening, the Bold Heart segment is really about inspiring you to go out and do things that you've always wanted to do, to say it's not too difficult. You've only got one life. Let's live it as boldly as we possibly can.
And make it as short as possible.
Oh, as long as you love it. So this week, it's actually quite tame this week. So we're talking about stand-up paddleboarding. Or commonly known as supping. And I've brought in a very good friend of mine, Shannon Clark, who's no stranger. And Shannon is actually one of only six people that have actually supped the doozy. Now, never mind paddled the doozy. To sup the doozy is something else. So he's the expert. I'm the novice. And so I've tried stand-up paddleboarding. I'm not horrendous, but I would need a little bit of more work on you. The biggest thing about stand-up paddleboarding, and to explain to listeners, actually, Shane, you would be better. What is a stand-up paddleboard?
A stand-up paddleboard is basically a longer-length surfboard, very, very buoyant, that you actually stand up on from the beginning. You're not lying down, you're not kneeling, you're standing up. And in order to stand and to propel yourself forward, you've got to single blade paddle, and because of the way you're standing on the board, it engages the core substantially, so it gives you a fantastic workout in terms of the core because you're trying to balance
that might have been my
and
problem.
Propel yourself forward. Now, watching Sarah paddle for the first time was quite entertaining.
But now clearly the idea behind stand-up paddle is to have fun.
Correct.
And,
absolutely.
And to get a bit of exercise and generally to live life large. But it seems like, well, if you've got to stand up, firstly, that's number one, challenge number one. Because a lot of surfing, I've seen people trying to learn to surf and their biggest problem is learning to stand up. Secondly, you've got to propel yourself while standing up. And I presume you can only do this on a flat body of water, which means that if you're in the sea with the little waves that come along, I'm not talking about in the breakers, but behind, it's doubly challenging. So why on earth would one want to even go there?
Well, there's a couple of options. So yes, our north coast is particularly challenging in terms of water sports, but there are other options. So I've tried also at just outside DUC, there's the canals down in Durban, and you can stand up paddleboard there. And then on a calm day, actually, the Durban beachfront is absolutely magnificent. And Shan will testify, most people start just outside of Durban Underwater Sea Club. And then as you get better, you progress because the waves get bigger. Shan's one of the people that can actually surf on the thing. I can't. I could just barely stand and muck about. And then, of course, we've got Sinquazi. The Sinquazi, which is quite close here. And you can also go there and muck around and get a bit better. So you don't have to go straight into the ocean. And actually, that's not what we don't.
Yeah, what I'm going to say, it's not exactly a hugely popular sport because you don't see, not here, because you don't see many of them. It looks, however, fantastic, I've got to say.
Yeah, it does.
And clearly it is a derivative of the earlier, we called, you know, what was it called? Windsurfing.
Windsurfing. Oh,
yeah. And you, Shannon, have a hell of a history in windsurfing. Yeah, just give us a bit of your background.
No. Now we're going back a long way into the 80s. I used to windsurf competitively in those days. I was one of the early adopters when the sport came out, when we were still...
And he had big hair in those days. Big
still got very good hair.
just bigger.
Just lot and grey. in those days, we started off with the old, what we used to call the windsurfer one design, big 12-foot longboard.
And you had to hoist the sail out,
didn't
you?
Yeah, you pull the sail out the water. And in those days, we had teak, wooden booms, wooden universal joints. That's where I cut my teeth, actually, up in Joburg on Emmerich Dam.
I was going to say, this is the one surfing sport that you could do up country or where there was no sea.
It was very, very big in the 80s. And, yeah, that's where I cut my teeth in it and sailed competitively. In 1987, 88, I finished second in the world champs, in the freestyle world champs.
At a time when South Africa couldn't compete, so you were competing under a different flag.
Yeah, I was competing as an American in those days and then competed in the World Cup in France, finished fifth in the World Cup. And, yeah, that was it. And it was just as wave sailing then started progressing, where we were taking surfboards and then putting a sail on the surfboard. And that's, yeah, kind of where I started off.
Why did windsurfing die?
Dave, I think because the sport changed so radically when everybody started sailing shortboards. And whereas the longboards made it so much more easily accessible to people to sail, whereas once you got into the big winds and the shortboards, it became a hell of a lot more difficult.
Ah.
And I think that's where the sport migrated to, because that was the adrenaline side of the sport. And then it dropped off for the
Kind of split, as I understand it, into kiteboarding and stand-up paddles.
Well, that's the other thing. Then kiteboarding came along, which is a whole new genre as well, and stand-up paddleboarding. And now the new thing on the block is foiling,
which is a combination of the two almost.
It's a combination of kind of everything, but excepting now you've got cutlery under you, you've got a foil underneath you, and that is a whole nother.
Well, I believe Sarah's going to give that a go next, which is going to be.
This might be the one that I might not come back all.
I want to see some video footage.
Yeah.
I think we'll hire a crew.
Yeah.
But, Sarah, your experience of stand-up paddle, because you've never done it before, I presume.
Yeah. So what I really enjoyed was that it was fairly accessible in terms of you didn't have to be an expert. And on a flat body of water, you could get up and you could muck about.
Is the board quite stable on
that? Yes. I think when you're starting out, you want one of those bigger boards that are inflatable. And so what I would encourage is that people give it a try. What also is nice is that it's quite a family-friendly sport.
You can do it in the swimming pool.
Well,
you could do it in the swimming pool. You don't go anywhere. You stand up.
You can actually just lie on it. It's called a lilo.
They've actually done yoga. Haven't they done yoga?
They do yoga on it.
All sorts of things now.
Yoga.
But so you can also, there's a couple of guys that teach. You can go and have an introductory lesson. So like I mentioned, Expression in Durban. And there's a couple of other people. So there's a safe way to get into the sport. Otherwise, also, you'll often see on like One Day Only these sapping entry-level packages that you can get. And then, like I mentioned, there are bodies of water that you could go and try. I would advise that somebody shows you the technique, because there is a technique to it. So it's like surf ski or anything. It's in the catch. So it's not a full... The more you can get the stroke right, the chance of staying on the board and having fun is better.
And as Sarah says, there are a number of places out there. You've got Expressions on the beach in Durban. You've got Victory Surf in Umhlanga, where you can actually go there. They've got boards. You don't have to have your own boards. And they'll take you to a flat body of water, put you on the water. And that's actually the fun element.
Because of the lagoon there.
Umhlanga, you've got the lagoon there, and, you know, that's where the fun element is. Don't go and hop in the surf. You go and hop in the surf on day one, you're going to hate it. So they'll put you on a nice big, long, wide, stable board, and they'll show you the correct paddle technique, and you'll go out there and have a blast. And as Sarah says, it's a great day to go with the family, and from the youngsters to mom and dad, you're out there having fun. And when we see what we're surrounded with the Luxus and Kwazi Lagoon and Mhloti Lagoon, you get out and paddle on those. The bird life is amazing to be out there. You go through to Durban in front of DUC on a nice flat day.
Oh, it's beautiful.
You're paddling along and you've got turtles popping up next to you. You've got dolphins popping up next to you. Yeah. You know, that's where the experiences of life come to the forefront.
And you can't take your phone with you.
Well,
you could, but, you know, don't.
And I presume that, well, I mustn't presume anything, but... Is this a form of sport that one can get into even if you're not particularly fit?
Yes, you can. Yes, you can, Dave. The first time you get in a paddleboard, it's going to seem a little bit tricky and difficult. But once you understand how to do it and get the technique right, it makes it a lot easier. And if it's just paddling around on flat water, anybody can do it. Mm. You don't have to go for a 10K paddle. You don't have to go for a 1K paddle. You can just paddle around a couple of hundred meters and have fun. Diving off it, climbing back on it, and you know, that's the fun side of it.
Wow.
And I mean, this is really the season to be in the water. You know, the water's clean at the moment, and it really is. The temperature of the water is nice. So yeah, highly recommend it.
So is the sport growing, or is it kind of now reached its zenith, would you say?
It's kind of got to a point where it's plateaued, certainly in the KZN area, because unfortunately our coastline isn't the most user-friendly. We've got gnarly surf, we've got big shore breaks, whereas in Cape Town it's still really popular, and globally it's really popular. And the sport of stand-up paddleboarding, there's a broad genre to it, whether it's just paddling around on longboards, whether it's racing longboards on flat water, whether it's racing through the surf, or whether it's then surf supping, where you're actually riding waves. So, you know, you can decide what appeals to you.
And I gathered from the intro that you've actually done the Doozy Canoe Marathon on a paddleboard.
Yeah. I mean, why would you want to?
It was just, so I was a supper, and Doozy has always been an adventure that I wanted to give a try. And so I thought, well, let's go and give Doozy a go on a stand-up paddleboard.
How did it go?
Yeah, it was great. Great fun. Great adventure.
Especially over the weirs, I would imagine.
I kind of rationalized it that the SUP is a big lilo, so I can just lie down and go with the flow.
Oh, so you weren't standing up on it, you were lying down on
it? No, we were standing up.
Oh, you were?
Yeah. So,
just crazy.
It was crazy. A whole lot of fun.
And you managed to get all the way down the river?
It was the low water year, so with my running background, I was quite fortunate with that. And Doozy is a real adventure. It was mind blowing. Aside from the paddling side of it, just being out there in those beautiful valleys, it was mind blowing.
So you both of you practice what you preach. You live large and enjoy life to the full.
Yeah.
And encourage others to join you.
Yeah, I think I often hear people say, I'm going to get round to do something, or I wish I could do it, or something like that. And let's take that out and let's just go, okay, what have you always wanted to do? How do you get there? So is there somebody in your circle of friends or mates who does it? And can you go and often we think things are too difficult to even go and give it a try. Or we're just too scared.
But then both of you are rather exceptional human beings. I know Shannon, for example, has had a double knee replacement. And not long ago.
Wow.
And with both at the same time knees replaced, he still just ran a marathon.
It was actually 20 k's.
That's a marathon. What you're talking was how long is a marathon? Is it?
Double it. We're working towards it, Dave.
Yeah.
I mean, it's only done 20k.
Only 20k.
With two prosthetic, brand new knees, most people would still be in hospital. I wouldn't move. You know, but look at this. This is wonderful.
But remarkable. I think, Dave, that's where your approach to life has to be. You know, you can see things. I was told I was never going to run again, and you can see that as an obstacle, or you can see it as a challenge. And yes, I might not be at the same level as I was previously, but we keep on looking forward and looking at pushing those boundaries and seeing what's possible. And it's mind-blowing, the strength of the mind when the desire is there. And you just keep on going.
So I also think it's people have different appetites. So not everybody wants to stand up paddleboard, but there might be somebody who does want to go and do X, whatever X is for you. And so this is just really to break down those barriers every time. So if I can go and find somebody to go and stand a paddleboard with, what can you do in your own life?
So now answer the question honestly, Sarah Swenson, would you ever do it again?
I wouldn't do it as a full-time sport, but I would do it as a recreational activity. Okay. Like I would go and, if you gave me a chance, I actually just don't have enough time, money, or space left. So it's not what I would naturally gravitate to as a sport. Okay. But I certainly would do it as a fun activity, mucking about. Yeah.
So, and money is a thing. It's an expensive sport, huh?
It can be expensive, Dave. You know, if you want to take it to that level.
Yeah.
If you're buying a big carbon race board, you're going to be in for 45,000-50,000 rand for a board. But What's a mountain bike cost nowadays? Yeah. What's a carbon surf ski cost? You know,
and,
so
and with the tariffs coming, it's going to cost a hell of a lot more. Hey? So life as we know it has just ended.
But or you can just go and borrow one or rent one.
But that's exactly it. Yeah, there are guys out there where you can just go. You don't even have to own the board, and they will take the boards to the place, put them
better,
on the water.
Because if you break it, it's on them. So
so you know, that's the thing. Or else you can get an entry level inflatable board. There's a big secondhand market. And, you know, there it's you in for $8,000 for a board with a paddle and everything. So, you know, you don't have to go to those extremes. So, as a sport goes, it is pretty accessible. What's a new pair of running shoes cost nowadays?
Too much.
I wouldn't know. But clearly you're both products of the product, and the benefits are not only in the enjoyment of the sport, but you're extraordinarily healthy and looking radiant and vibrant. And look at this.
About living life.
We say what a rubbish Monday. They bounce in saying what a glorious Monday. And
the
testimony
to changed it for us, Dave. It's an exciting Monday now.
That's why you put us on a Monday.
Right.
Now, what a glorious day. And we've been listening to another exciting adventure. Sarah Swainson and her ordinary active Bold Heart Initiative. It's an inspiration.
Wow. Yeah,
Shannon with his bionic knees. Look at that.
And this has a part two, because now I've done a stand-up paddleboarding. Now I'm going to possibly try how to foil.
We're going to get Sarah.
But I have to start on the beach
up
first.
And away,
I'm not even allowed in the water. I'm only allowed on the beach.
Okay.
Well, this will be an exciting follow. So we look forward to
so
your
be
return.
Part two.
Triumphant or...
Or in pieces.
Either way, it will be a fascinating follow-up. And lovely chatting again Sarah and Shannon. Good to see you again, looking so fit.
Likewise, Dave.
We look forward to the next conversation.
Thank you.
This will be up as a podcast shortly, folks. So if you missed the beginning, don't worry. You can share it and enjoy it at your leisure. The Morning Show.